All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to Acts chapter 10. Am I on? Can you hear me? Can't hear? Am I on now? Can you hear me now? All right, Acts chapter 10. Last month, exactly 1 month ago today, May 25th, Michael and I, we drove to Macon for lunch at AJ's. Anybody been to AJ's? That's a good place to eat. Good tenderloins there. There we met a missionary who serves in India. His name is Chris. Never met him before. He was back for a furlough, and he lives in Chillicothe, and so Macon was kind of a halfway point. And so we met for lunch there in Macon. Chris serves amongst a Muslim population in India. 172 million Muslims live in India. There are 121 different languages in India. That's important. Remember that. Chris speaks a particular language. During our lunch, it was discovered that Chris was going to go to New Orleans for the Southern Baptist Convention, where we were also going to go. And so I offered to Chris, I said, why don't you stay with us, man? You can save a little money. You can sleep on the pull-out couch that we have. Why don't you stay with us? And he declined initially. And then he called back and he said, hey, do you mind if I stay with you on Monday and Tuesday night? I said, sure, no problem. No problem at all. Now, here's the thing. I hate to spend money. I hate it. I'm kind of a, I guess you would call me a cheapskate. And so I got a hotel that was, Michael, what would you say, 15 miles away from the convention, which we saved a ton of money doing that. But that also meant that we had to take an Uber or a Lyft. Do you know what an Uber is? A ride-sharing company. We had to take an Uber to the convention every day. Remember that. That's important. On Tuesday night, the convention was over, and Michael and I decided to head back to the hotel. And because I hate to spend money, we didn't want to spend money on an Uber, and so we took a bus. And the bus actually dropped us off 2.5 miles away from the hotel. And so we began walking. And we finally found the Lord's Chicken, Chick-fil-A, and we had dinner there, and then we called an Uber and sacrificed the $7 to get us the other 1.5 miles. We got to our hotel that night, and Chris wasn't there yet. Chris had some business to tend to with some other organizations with the Southern Baptist Convention, and he was going to show up later. So it was about 6:30, 7 o'clock when we got to the hotel. Chris walks in the door at 9:30, and he says, you won't believe what just happened. Chris had taken an Uber from the convention to the hotel. He didn't take the bus like us. He took an Uber. And when he gets into the Uber, he realizes that his driver is from India. And then he begins to talk. And remember, there are 121 different languages in India. And wouldn't you know it, the driver happens to speak the exact language that Chris knows. And so between the convention and our hotel, Chris was able to share the gospel in this driver's heart language. The man heard the gospel that day. I wish I could report to you that he repented and was saved. He didn't that day. But I would not be surprised at all if we get to heaven and we hear a story about an Uber driver who picked up a man in New Orleans who spoke a language from India and shared the gospel with him. I share that to say this. There are times in life where God just sets the table, right? The table is set, and it's obvious and apparent that the Lord had us pick that hotel for a purpose. And it wasn't just to save money, though that's a good purpose. He had us pick that hotel for a purpose and for a reason. He had Chris stay with us for a purpose and a reason. And the reason was the gospel being spread amongst the nations. Sometimes the Lord just happens to set the table for us. One of the things that I want you to remember is that when God sends you to share the gospel with someone, He is often setting the table for us. When God impresses it upon your heart to share the gospel with someone, it's oftentimes correct to say that God has worked in their life long before you ever showed up. Long before you were ever there to tell them about who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why it matters, God is likely already working, setting the table for them to hear the gospel. That's how he moves. He moves in mighty ways, and he uses us to accomplish his will, to do his work. This morning, I'm going to take you to the story of Peter and Cornelius. We have a chapter and a half to cover, a whole lot of verses and a little bit of time to cover them. So you're going to have to listen quick, and I'll try to speak slower than usual. And I want you to see this morning three steps of God's plan to share the gospel. Before we dive in, I want to ask you to pray with me. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a God who constantly and consistently sets the table for us. That when you call us to share the gospel, that when you call us to go and tell, you are often already at work in that exact same place. So in many ways, Lord, we don't take the gospel there. We just follow you. Father, I do pray that as a result of today's message, that you would remind us to go and tell. And I pray that you would do a mighty work, encouraging us to be people who do your work for your glory alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Three steps of God's plan, to God's plan to share the gospel. Here we go. Step number one, I want you to notice the Lord's assignment from Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 23. And his assignment is this: the saved will be sent. You know what I love about the Lord's assignment? What I love when the Lord gives you assignment, when the Lord tells you to walk across the street or walk across the office or walk across the living room and share the gospel. When the Lord gives you an assignment, he does so with great purpose. He is at work in the place where he is sending you long before you show up. And we see that so very clearly in Acts chapter 10. For context, last week we left Peter. He was in Joppa. Joppa sits about 30 miles south of Caesarea. And I want you to notice how the Lord works among the lost in Caesarea to hear the gospel. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "There was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment." The Bible says that he was a devout man, and he feared God along with his whole household. He did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people and always prayed to God. Pause for just a moment. What do verses 1 and 2 tell us about the man Cornelius? What do you see when you read verses 1 and 2? Verse 1 tells us that he was a military commander. A centurion would be in charge of at least 100 men. Centurion, 100 men, which indicates that Cornelius would have been a respectable and a responsible man. We know that he lived in Caesarea. Caesarea, as I told you, was 30 miles north of Joppa on the coast. Here's what one commentator said about Caesarea. He said, quote, "It was a Hellenistic-style city with a dominant population of Gentiles." Cornelius was one of them, a Gentile. We know that Cornelius was devout, that he feared God, that he did charitable acts. We know that we would call Cornelius a good man. He was a good man, but he was a lost man. He didn't know Jesus. But God was about to give an assignment, and God was preparing Cornelius to hear the gospel. Keep reading, verse 3. "At about 3 in the afternoon, he," Cornelius, "distinctly saw a vision of an angel of God, who came in and said to him, 'Cornelius.' Staring at him in awe, he said, 'What is it, Lord?' And the angel told him, 'Your prayers and your acts of charity have ascended as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who is also named Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea.' When the angel who spoke to him had gone, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier who was one of those who attended him. After explaining everything to them," the Bible says, "he sent them to Joppa." Now pause for a minute and let me ask you a question. Let me just tell you the question I had when I read through this. The angel showed up to Cornelius, and what did the angel say to Cornelius? go to Joppa, right? What was the purpose, if you know the story, what was the purpose of the men going to Joppa? To get Peter so Peter could do what? Share the gospel with them. Now, here's my question. Why didn't the angel just share the gospel with them? Why didn't the angel just say, hey, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Savior, repent and believe? Why didn't he just do that? You want to know why? Because God's plan is to include you. God's plan is to include us. God's plan was to include Peter in the work of sending and sharing the gospel with the lost. God has a plan, and it involves you. It involves me. It involved Peter here. Imperfect, imprecise, broken us. God wants to involve us in sharing the gospel with the nations. Surely he could have just sent the angel, the messenger, to tell him the gospel, but he didn't. Instead, the angel said, hey, send some men down to Joppa, and there you'll find Peter. Now remember, Peter is 30 miles south in Caesarea, and this is where the story picks up now with Peter. God has prepared the hearts. He's preparing the soil, if you will, in Caesarea. Now look in verse 9. The Bible says, the next day, as they were traveling, so the group of men were traveling and nearing the city, nearing Joppa, Peter went up on the roof to pray at about noon. He became hungry. It's lunchtime. He became hungry and he wanted to eat. But while they were preparing something, my Bible says he fell into a trance. Do you see that in verse 10? He fell into a trance and he saw heaven opened and an object that resembled a large sheet coming down, being lowered by its four corners to the earth. In it were all the four-footed animals, reptiles of the earth, and birds of the sky. So Peter is up on the roof and he sees a sheet being lowered, and the sheet is holding animals. And the Lord says, look in your Bible, verse 13, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 14, no, Lord, Peter said, for I have never eaten anything impure or ritually unclean. And again, a second time, the voice said to him, what God has made clean, do not call impure. This happened three times, and suddenly the object was taken up into heaven. Can you spot the details of this story that make it so significant? Peter was hungry, and so he went up on the roof at noon to get alone and pray while others were preparing the meal. Peter didn't know what had happened in Cornelius' house. He had no idea. He only knew that he was hungry and he wanted to pray. And he went upstairs on the roof to pray, and he sees a vision of animals being lowered on a sheet. And God says, that's not an animal. That's food. That's not a cow. That's a porterhouse. That's not a pig. That's a slab of bacon. Get up and eat. And Peter, the good Hebrew, refuses. I can't eat that. I've never eaten anything that's been unclean or impure. I can't eat that. And then the voice says, don't call what I have made clean unclean and impure. Get up, Peter. Kill and eat. And so the Bible says the sheet goes back into heaven. And Peter on the roof is contemplating, what in the world does this mean? What could this mean for us? What does it mean for me? And just as he's in deep thought, he hears a voice. Hey, is there a man named Peter here? Simon? Is he around here? That's exactly what happens. Look in your Bible, verse 17. While Peter was deeply perplexed about the vision that he had seen and what that might mean, right away, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions to Simon's house, stood at the gate. They called out, hey, is Simon here? Do you see that? They called out in verse 18, asking if Simon, who was also named Peter, was lodging there. Is Simon here? You might know him as Peter. Is he here? Verse 19, while Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit told him, there are men here looking for you. Get up and go downstairs and go with them with no doubts at all, because I have sent them." And then Peter went down to the men and said, "Here I am, the one you're looking for. What's the reason you're here?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who has a good reputation with the whole Jewish nation, was divinely directed by a holy angel to call you to his house and to hear a message from you." Peter then invited them in and gave them lodging. And the next day he got up and set out with them. And some of the brothers from Joppa went with him. Question: why did Peter go downstairs? Who told Peter to go downstairs? The Spirit. Look at verse 20. Who sent the men from Caesarea to Peter? The Spirit. Can you see it? The Lord prepared every detail and directed every step of the men from Caesarea and even every step of Peter. It was the Spirit who told Peter to go downstairs and not to be afraid. It was the Spirit who told the men to leave Caesarea and go to Joppa and find Peter. The Lord had an assignment for them, and they were obedient. And listen to me, the Lord has an assignment for you too. Maybe your assignment's to walk across the street. Maybe your assignment is to walk across the office, walk across your living room. Maybe your assignment is to get on a plane and fly to a place like India. But the Lord has an assignment for you. And the question isn't, can you trust the Lord? Obviously you can. He is trustworthy. The question is, will you trust the Lord? Will you trust him when he calls you to go? Will you trust that he will provide everything you need? That he will provide every step that you take and ordain every step that you take? That's what happened here. Peter goes down off the rooftop, meets the men at the door, and the next day they set out in obedience to the Lord. We see the Lord's assignment that the saved will be sent. And when they are sent, when you are sent on an assignment from the Lord, it is a very simple message that you share. The message is this: repent and believe. Look at what happens here in the Bible. Verse 24. The following day, the Bible says that he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. Verse 26. But Peter lifted him up and said, "Stand up. I myself am also a man." While talking with him, he went in and found a large gathering of people. And Peter said to them, "You know it's forbidden for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a foreigner. But God has shown me that I must not call any person impure or unclean. That's why I came without any objection when I was sent for. So may I ask you, why have you sent for me?" And Cornelius replied, "4 days ago at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon, I was praying in my house. And just then, a man in dazzling clothing stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your acts of charity have been remembered in God's sight. Therefore, send someone to Joppa and invite Simon here, who is also named Peter. He is lodging in Simon the Tanner's house by the sea. So immediately I sent for you,' Cornelius says, 'and it was good of you to come. So now we are all in the presence of God to hear everything you have been commanded by the Lord.'" I love this so much. God had moved in Cornelius's life in such a way, the lost man's life in such a way, that Cornelius went and gathered his friends and his family, and he said, "Come to my house. There's something you got to hear." And so by the time Peter shows up, Cornelius, seeing Peter, he thought, I'm assuming he thought he was the Lord, because he fell at his feet and worshiped. And Peter said, "Knock that off. I'm just a man like you. Stand up." And then Peter walks into this room filled with lost people. Tell me the Lord didn't prepare that. And Cornelius effectively says to Peter, "Here's the microphone, sir. Here's the microphone, preacher. What do you got for us today?" And look at the simple message that Peter shares. Verse 34. Peter began to speak. Look at, you got to see it. Verse 34. He says, "Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, But in every nation, the person who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. He sent the message to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Who's Lord of all? Jesus. This is what he's telling the lost Gentiles. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Verse 37, you know the events that took place throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. Verse 39, we ourselves are witnesses of everything he did, both in the Judean country and in Jerusalem, and yet they killed him by hanging him on a tree. Verse 40, but God raised up this man on the third day and caused him to be seen, not by all people, but by us whom God appointed as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. Man, listen to me. Sometimes we overcomplicate the mission, don't we? This was a simple, simple picture of the gospel that Peter proclaimed. This was a simple sermon. Do you see how simple it was? Remember the details? The Lord had revealed his plan for Peter to go to Caesarea, and Peter obeyed. The Lord had revealed his plan for Cornelius to gather his family. Cornelius obeyed. And then Peter shows up with a simple message. Jesus is Lord of all, and in him you can find forgiveness of sins. Repent and believe. That's the message of the gospel. Repent and believe. And with that, the Bible shows us that the lost, the Gentiles, they were saved. Look at verse 44. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Can you see that this is the Pentecost for the Gentiles? Do you remember in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Jerusalem? Who was there? Who was preaching in Acts 2? Peter. Peter was preaching in Acts 2. And then in Acts chapter 8, they're in Judea and Samaria and the Spirit is poured out. And guess who's there? Peter. And now here we are in Acts chapter 10 and the Spirit's poured out among the Gentiles. And guess who's there? Peter. Remember in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? When Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Peter was there in all three instances with the Spirit poured out on the believers in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and now the ends of the earth, representative of the Gentiles in Caesarea. Peter was there in all three instances. Verse 47, the end of verse 46, it says, then Peter responded, can anyone withhold water and prevent these people from being baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him if they could stay with him for a few days. Here's the message for us today. Here's the message of Acts chapter 10 for us as believers. Go and tell. That's the story of the gospel. Go and tell. You say, where do I go? I don't know. I'm not the Lord. He'll tell you that. He'll tell you where to go. And when he tells you, you go. Remember that old hymn? Wherever he leads, I'll go. You know who wrote that hymn? Bob, you know who wrote that? B.B. McKinney was his name. Here's a story behind B.B. McKinney. It was written in 1936, the hymn, Wherever he leads, I'll go. Written in 1936. B.B. McKinney was at a conference. And there was a man there named R.S. Jones, who was the speaker, the preacher. R.S. Jones was a missionary in Brazil, but had gotten really sick, really ill. And so he had to come home. And the doctors told him, your illness is too great. You can't go back overseas. You got to stay home. And this was heartbreaking for R.S. Jones. And so backstage, they were talking, B.B., and R.S., B.B. McKinney and R.S. Jones were talking, and B.B. McKinney asks R.S. Jones, what are you going to do next? And you've been a missionary in Brazil this whole time. What's next for you? And Jones said to him, one report said with tears in his eyes, wherever he leads, I'll go. And with that, the hymn was born. God brought a chapter to one end of his life, but Jones wasn't done. Listen to me, God may have brought a chapter, an end to the particular chapter in your life, but the end of the chapter isn't the same thing as the end of the book. There's another chapter, there's another next for you. For Peter, the chapter in Joppa closed, but there was a new chapter in Caesarea. For us, literally, Acts chapter 10 closes. There's a new chapter, Acts chapter 11. For you, maybe you're retired, and the chapter of work has been closed in your life. God's not through with you yet, not at all. He's got a new chapter for you. And remember, the question isn't, can you trust him? The question is, will you trust him? He's got a new chapter for you, a new assignment for you. The saved will be sent. That's the assignment. And when you're sent with a simple announcement. Repent and believe. And look at what happens. The Lord's achievement. To God be the glory. Look at chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says that the apostles and the brothers and sisters who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Verse 2, when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party, what does your Bible say there? Criticized them. They said, you went to uncircumcised men and you ate with them? There's a message there, by the way. When you go to serve the Lord, guaranteed you're going to be criticized. It just comes with the territory. And oftentimes your criticism will be uninformed. You went and ate with these men who were unclean. But Peter, realizing the significance of the moment, that this was a picture of the gospel going to the Gentiles, he wasn't going to grin and bear this. He wanted to explain exactly what happened. He wanted to show them how the Lord had set the table for the gospel to advance among the Gentiles. And so he does. Look in your Bible, verse 4. My Bible says that Peter began to explain them step by step. That means he took he was very careful to share every detail about how the Lord had set the table. Verse 4. Peter began to explain to them step by step. I was in the town of Joppa praying, and I saw in a trance an object that resembled a large sheet coming down, being lowered from its four corners from heaven. And it came to me. And when I looked closely and considered it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts and reptiles and birds of the sky. And I also heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord, I said, for nothing impure or ritually unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a voice answered from heaven a second time, what God has made clean, you must not call impure. Chapter 11, verse 10. Now this happened three times, and everything was drawn up again into heaven. And at that very moment, three men who had been sent from me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to accompany them with no doubts at all. These six brothers also accompanied me. And when we went into the man's house, he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and call for Simon, who is also named Peter. He will speak a message to you by which you and your household will be saved. And Peter says, verse 15, I began to speak. The Holy Spirit came down on them just as on us at the beginning. He's referencing Pentecost there. I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift that he also gave to us, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, how could I possibly hinder God? Oh my, what a story. How could I possibly hinder God? Remember that time when Peter was opposing Jesus face to face? You can't go to the cross. Now Peter says, look, it's an exercise in futility. How can I possibly hinder God? And can you see the room full of critics as they hear the story? I mean, only God could cause all of these details to fall in place just like they did. Only the Lord could do that. And so this room full of critics, when Peter got there, they said to him, "You went and ate with them?" And Peter's like, "Yeah, I went and ate with them because the Lord set the table." Do you see the every detail, how the Lord set the table? And so look at what happens. Look in your Bible, verse 18. When they heard this, what does your Bible say they did? They held their peace. My translation says they became silent. Awkward silence. Don't you love awkward silence? Awkward silence. And then look at what happens. The end of verse 18. They glorified God, saying, "So then, God has given repentance resulting in life even to the Gentiles." To God be the glory. That's the Lord's achievement, the glory of God. And he used Peter to do it. The Lord orchestrated every step. The Lord had an assignment for Peter. Take the gospel to the house of Cornelius. And Peter said yes. Listen to me. The Lord also has an assignment for you. If you are unsaved, if you have not repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, your assignment is to recognize that you didn't just happen to stumble into this place or stumble online or turn on the radio. It didn't just happen. The Lord arranged the scene. The Lord set the table for you to hear the gospel. And here is the gospel. Jesus is the Lord of all. He's the only way to heaven. The only way you can get there is by repenting of your sins and believing that he is the Messiah. Repent and believe. That's the message. If you are lost, that's your assignment. Repent and believe and be saved. And if you're saved, if you're a believer, your assignment is this. Go and tell. There's a world desperate to hear the good news of the gospel. Go and tell. And the end result of you going to tell, no matter how scared you may be, the end result will be the glory of God. Success is obedience. Success is not numbers. Success, your success as you take the gospel out isn't dependent on whether or not they trust in Christ. Your success is based on one thing. Are you obedient to the assignment the Lord has given you? And I pray that you are.